Welcome to day 26 of our UFC 100 Mega Coverage audio here on MMAtorch.com. I am Torch editor Jamie Pennock, joined once again by Torch columnist Matt Pelkey. And today we're going to look at the fallout of the Georges St. Pierre-Thiago Alves five-round battle that saw Georges St. Pierre once again successfully defend his welterweight title. And he sits alone atop the welterweight division right now. Matt, this was another fight that was just pure and utter dominance from the champion. I mean, with a pulled groin for the last two rounds, he continued to take Thiago Alves down at will, a feat that Josh Koscheck couldn't do, a feat that Matt Hughes could not do. And it was literally at will for Georges St. Pierre here in this fight. And we've got a lot of possible options for the two of them going forward, but not a whole lot right now in the welterweight division that seems real special for Georges St. Pierre.
Yeah, nothing really. I mean, let's not beat around the bush. There's not really a challenge left for him at 170 right now until maybe a guy like Anthony Johnson gets a couple more years under his belt and gets his game a little more well-rounded. He's really the only athlete in the division that can keep up with him right now. But other than that, as far as current qualified contenders, I just don't see Mike Zwick or Martin Campman putting up much of a fight.
And that's who's going to get the next shot. I mean, Dana's already said that the bout between those two coming up at UFC 103 in September is going to be a number one contender fight for the next shot against Georges St. Pierre. And Dana said in the past that he wants to see George clear out the division before he goes and moves up. But, I mean, you look at the list of people that he's defeated since losing to Matt Serra on his path back to getting his championship back. He out-wrestled Josh Koscheck and just looked dominant in that one. Came out and had one of his best performances ever against Matt Hughes. Beats Matt Serra again. Comes out, defends his title successfully against John Fitch. Goes and beats BJ Penn and then comes and beats Thiago Alves. I mean, yeah, Swick and Campman deserve a shot as they're moving up the ranks. They deserve to at least get a shot. But it's going to be just it's going to be Anderson Silva all over again, where it's just not even a challenge for him, like you said, at this point. I mean, they might present some things. Some people might give him a flippant chance to actually do something against Georges St. Pierre, but let's face it. Georges St. Pierre is a completely different beast than anyone else at 170 pounds, and he has a good chance of beating a lot of people at 185 pounds, including the current middleweight champion, Anderson Silva.
Yeah, and you said it would be Anderson Silva all over again. I at least think there's a couple of intriguing possibilities for Anderson Silva at 185, but at 170 for Georges St. Pierre, I mean, let's not even forget that he destroyed Frank Trigg when Frank Trigg was supposed to be the better fighter, years before he ever won the title. So we can cross that name off the list as well. I mean, there's literally just Martin Campman and Mike Zwick right now. And, I mean, they both have the same hole in their game that everybody that Georges St. Pierre, all of his opponents have, in that nobody can stop his takedowns. I mean, on paper, it seems like the one person who would really stand a chance would be Josh Koscheck, but we've already seen that fight. In Koscheck, he's lost Thiago Alves, he got knocked out by Paulo Thiago, so it's not like he's on the cusp of getting another title shot right now. He almost seems to have kind of regressed by refusing to use his wrestling. He proved that he couldn't stop Georges St. Pierre's takedowns either. So Georges St. Pierre really just needs to fight some bigger guys that he can't just muscle around the cage. And even then, I mean, there's really no guarantee that 185 could stop him.
Well, one guy in the welterweight division right now that we still need to see against top flight competition to see how good he really can be, but I think you give him another year and a half fighting more top-tier competition, we could see a legit challenger in Brock Larson in a year and a half at the welterweight division, or for the welterweight title.
Yeah, actually, that is a pretty good name, and it's kind of the one under-the-radar fighter who I even think right now, I mean, he's, 32 years old. He's been around for a long time. He has, 25 fights or so under his belt. He's as ready as he's going to be, maybe just needs to fight a couple more top-flight guys just to get used to facing him for when he goes up against Georges St. Pierre. But you're right. That's really the one option that's out there right now that isn't a guy that needs a couple more years of seasoning as far as developing his game. He just needs a little more experience against the top flight guys. And you know what? I think that's really the one guy that has a chance against George St. Pierre right now.
Well, and the reason I bring him up is because he's got one of those really strong wrestling bases coming out of the Minnesota Martial Arts Academy. I mean, that's one of the things that those guys just drill into themselves with Sean Sherk there, and you've got obviously Brock Lesnar coming out of that camp and using those coaches, and it's just that's another really good camp for wrestlers. And Brock Larson, like you said, he's 32 years old or so, 25 fights or so under his belt. He's only lost two fights to Carlos Condit and John Fitch, and those were all not completely recent. I mean, the Condit one was about a year and a half ago or so, but he's a fighter that, like you said, doesn't need seasoning, but does need he does need to be seen against top-tier guys because he was relegated to the WEC. His only UFC bout before they folded the WEC division was the loss to John Fitch. So he hasn't gotten a fair shake, I don't think, in the UFC yet. And I think he's going to start gaining a higher profile here in the next year. And, you know, I think we're both in agreement that he is a guy that could pose a threat. Now, in all honesty, by that time, George St. Pierre could have already moved on to bigger and better things, and it may just be a case of fighting someone else in this PAC division to go for that welterweight title.
Yeah, and as far as Brock Larson goes, I mean, he's basically steamrolled everybody he's fought that isn't the elite competition, and when he's faced those, I mean, the two toughest guys that he's fought have been John Fitch and Carlos Condit. You know, Condit just happened to snatch an armbar quick in that first round. I think if he hadn't caught that, it might have been a different outcome, but I really just need to see one win over a top 10 caliber opponent for Brock Larson before I'm ready to see him in a title fight, because why not? I mean, really, what else is there out there? But really, what this division needs is to not have George St. Pierre in it. That'll open up so many more matchups and possibilities, and it'll be an even playing field. I mean, you'll have a very well-balanced and still incredibly deep division that you can match up, you know, 15 guys with each other, and they're all solid matchups, and whoever you would pick for, you know, an interim title matchup would be a great matchup either way.
Now let's move to the challenger, or the fallen challenger, Thiago Alves. And what do we see next for him? I'm going to say the fight that I want to see is rematch with him and John Fitch. I think both of them coming off of five-round decision losses to George St. Pierre, they're clearly 2A and 2B, whichever one you want to put in that 2A spot would make sense. I mean, John Fitch really only lost his spot at number two because they were putting Thiago Alves into that title fight, and people gave him more of a shot than they did John Fitch, and clearly it wasn't that much of a difference in the outcome. Alves took a little less of a beating, but you know, I think Fitch took it to George St. Pierre a lot more than Thiago Alves did.
I think John Fitch was allowed more of a chance by George St. Pierre because George St. Pierre didn't really fear his stand-up as much as he did Thiago Alves. And I really think that's the matchup that almost makes too much sense not to happen. I mean, like you said, they're the second and third best guys in the UFC, and that's, I don't even really think there's a doubt about that right now. Fitch is 10-1 in the UFC. Thiago Alves is 9-3 in the UFC. The reason, you know, people shot Thiago Alves up to number two because he had that streak of fights. You know, he stopped Carl Brees and he stopped Matt Hughes, and he had a very entertaining decision win over Josh Koscheck. It was kind of really, nobody really has a more impressive three-fight streak like that. So he had the wins on the resume, whereas I think John Fitch is almost, not that he's racked up his wins against weak opponents, it's just because of his style, he hasn't been given a lot of high-profile matchups. And I'm not saying that he wouldn't win those, because I do think he would, but I think he needs to fight Thiago Alves nobody's going to be clamoring to see either of those guys, get another five-round beatdown from George St. Pierre. So you might as well match them up and at least eliminate one of them from the top. And the winner, at least has something to stand on, saying they beat the second or third best guy in the division.
Yeah, and then, from there, there's a lot of fights that both of those guys could have, because that right under the champion, there's a big drop-off to the rest of the field, and then they're all kind of right up in there. You can throw in Josh Koscheck into that mix. Matt Hughes still may have something left in the tank. Carlos Condit in there. Kampman and Swift, obviously. And then Brock Larson up in that. Pretty much that entire top 9 or 10 welterweights that are not George St. Pierre can all match up against each other, and they would all make sense, and none of them would be really outclassed by any of the others. I think they're all fairly even, with Sitch and Alves just sitting at the top.
Yeah, I think currently the welterweight division is basically a carbon copy of the light heavyweight division. You take George St. Pierre out and you take Lyoto Machida out, and you have two really well-balanced divisions where, look what we saw. Chuck lost his belt to Rampage, who defended it once against Dan Henderson, then lost his belt to Forrest, who lost his belt to Rashad, who lost to Machida. There wasn't a whole lot of belt defending going on there, and I think that's the scenario you would get without George St. Pierre in the welterweight division. I would love to see that, because, like you said, Josh Koscheck, John Fitch, Thiago Alves, Frank Trigg, Dan Hardy, all these guys from, once St. Pierre, if you take him out of the equation, there's not that much of a drop-off from, 2 to 10 or 12. So I think you'd have a lot of the belt going back and forth that would create a lot of new excitement in the division and a lot of fresh matchups. But there's George St. Pierre is almost an albatross at the top of the division right now, because there is literally no one that can beat him right now.
Well, and with that groin injury, he's going to be out of action for a while, and likely won't fight again until probably January, February at the earliest, I would think, with Swick and Kampman fighting in September. So do you see the one fight that everyone wants to see with Anderson Silva, do you see that happening in the next year? Do you think it will happen? In all honesty, or do you think it'll take a little bit longer for that to come to fruition?
I think it should happen, and I really don't see a reason why it wouldn't. I almost feel like Dana just announced that the Swick-Kampman winner would get a title shot to just kind of create some excitement over the division for the time being. But like you said, George St. Pierre's got that groin injury. That's going to take at least a month or two to properly heal, and then George likes to take some time off and just, have some vacation time, and then he likes to take a nice long training camp for his next fight. So he's going to have, like you said, January, February, I think at the earliest, and maybe even more likely March, because this is a guy that likes to wait 6 months in between fights when he's completely healthy. So when he's got an injury that's going to take a couple months to heal, you're looking at, 8 or 9 months before he's going to get in the ring again. So there's a lot of time in between there for things to change, and there's plenty of time for Anderson Silva to fight Forrest Griffin and maybe defend his middleweight belt before, a possible fight with George St. Pierre. So I think the timing just seems to work out really well for that to happen, and I don't really understand why it wouldn't. Anderson Silva has said he's going to retire after his contract's over, and I believe that would be the second to the last fight on his contract. So basically, if he beats George St. Pierre, he can go out and say, look, I was the best fighter of all time. I was the most dominant champion in the UFC of all time. Whereas if George St. Pierre wins, that puts him into that stratosphere going forward. Whereas if he loses, he's going to be giving up at least 20 pounds to the guy anyway, so he won't lose that much in the eyes of the fans either way. So there's really not a losing proposition for the UFC in there, so they might as well make that fight happen before Anderson Silva retires. It's a fight the fans want to see. It's a fight we want to see. And I'm sure it's a fight Dana White wants to see. So I have a feeling it will happen at least within the next year.
Well, obviously, we are hoping that we will see that. And as of now, it's still just stuck as a dream match. But we will end this conversation here, and we'll be back with ramifications for the Michael Bisping-Dan Henderson fight tomorrow. So for Matt Pelkey, this is Jamie Penick signing off.